financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
You are not broken. All right. You may be operating inside a system that isn't coordinated yet.
Okay.
And once you see that, everything begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
It's time for Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hi.
Hi, Jess. How's it going?
It's going well. And we're talking, well, what are we talking about this week?
Well, it's interesting. You know, today's show is a little bit different. I know you're always so skilled at like, here's what we're talking about.
But
The show is a little bit different because, you know, over the years, I've worked with thousands of people and I keep seeing the same pattern, right? I kept seeing the same pattern again and again. And surprisingly, it's not what people think. It's not about it's not about income. It's not even just about debt.
Okay.
It's not really about managing your money well directly.
Okay.
It's something much quieter. And I'm teasing this because it's such a fun riddle, right? What are all these
things? What could
it be? But it's quieter. It's something much quieter, but more profound, more powerful. And so I finally have given it a name. I call it the quiet pressure.
Okay.
Okay. So today I want to talk about what that actually means and why it matters more to most people than anyone seems to realize. This matters to almost every household.
The quiet pressure internally, you mean, with people?
Yes, internally, but produced by an external, a number of external forces. Okay.
Okay.
So until I gave it a name, it was sort of in the background, kind of like our own finances are, right? Until we name the problem, it's just hanging around there in the background. But here's the thing. In most of the people I talk to, they say something seems off, even when they seem to be doing okay financially, when they're paying their bills on time. And they're proud of that. My credit score is good. I'm paying my bills on time. I'm contributing to my retirement. My kids are going to good schools. They got the whole American dream going on. Mm-hmm. And they will still tell me, where does the money go? Why doesn't it feel like I'm getting anywhere? I just have a sense that something is not as good as it could be, that there's something better that I don't have access to in some way. And most people, I think, don't actually sit down to analyze it. And so what happens is it just keeps on keeping on. And that's what I call the quiet pressure.
Okay.
It's a elusive idea. So we're going to talk about it in little bits and pieces today. But at no point will I point my finger to one thing. I just felt like, at no point will my hands leave my wrists, right? At no point will I point my finger to one thing and say, that is the quiet pressure.
Okay.
But here's an example. We are resigned as a society to expect our mortgage to take 15 years, 30 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We see our finances in very linear fashion.
Okay.
Isolated. Okay. So we accept that a mortgage is whatever the term we got for it is. It's 5.5% for 15 years. That's our mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
We accept that a car payment is, you know, 4 years, 6 years, whatever it is. We see them in isolated chunks because that's how they're presented to us.
Right.
Right. That's logic.
You have to be able
to
afford this payment every month and then you can have this thing.
Yeah. Doesn't that seem right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. None of that is coordinated in some way. So I'm going to use a few terms today that that maybe I use differently. I've created them as a framework, a language to describe what this quiet pressure is so that we can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are words you'll know, like coordination, right?
Right.
But I'm using them a little bit differently. So it's not coordinated. In other words, Jess, when you go to get your mortgage, sure, they pull your credit report and they see what your debt-to-income ratio is at that moment as a snapshot.
Okay. But
there's no future coordination. They don't check in with you every year going, hey, Jess, how's the price of groceries? Are you still making your mortgage payment okay? They don't care. If they get their payment, they're done, right? There's nothing that is coordinated between, let's say, the debt and the retirement. So people decide, I have to max out my 401k or I'm never going to be able to retire. So let me just put as much money as I can in my 401k. But does anybody say, how's your cash flow doing? Can you actually afford that? Are you racking up credit card debt because there's not enough money in your take-home pay? Okay. Then you add to that things like healthcare. Who talks to you about affordability in healthcare? This is what it costs. You have to have it. Good luck.
And that's another thing that's gone up so much this year that it's really hurting people.
Yeah, exactly. So the first layer of this quiet pressure that we're talking about today is that lack of coordination, that lack of a wide lens that allows you to see your entire financial picture in any effective way. The closest we come to this, this was almost an epiphany to me, Jess. I'll explain about the book in a minute, but obviously I've written a book about this called The Quiet Pressure.
Another book, yes.
Yes, just released actually. But this show really isn't about the book. It's about what inspired me to write this book. And what inspired me to write this book is the realization that all of the people I've been dealing with individually work for someone or work for themselves. They are part of a collective workforce. And that workforce is what keeps America running. Not the
Yeah, as we
giant
know from
corporation.
COVID, yeah.
That's right. That's what keeps
Yes.
America running. And we're not well financially. I could say it softer than that, but I think most people would agree that if you're in the workforce, you at some point are concerned about your finances. So what's fascinating about that to me, Jess, is this is not. It's kind of like cancer. It doesn't care who it chooses, right? Financial stress, even though people without much money won't believe it of people with much money, doesn't care about industry. It doesn't care about income. It doesn't care about gender or race or anything else. It affects people in the same way, that same internal pressure, regardless of what their set of challenges are. For some people, that's food insecurity, right? It's as basic as how am I going to feed my family? And for others, it's I've saved $500,000, but I don't know if that's enough for me to retire, and I'm really worried I won't be able to retire. That seems absurd to people. You know, like how can that possibly be affecting people the same way? If I had $500,000, my problems would be gone. But the fact of the matter is, people experience things differently and everything is relative. So my hypothesis, proven over many years, though I'll call it a hypothesis, is that employees carry to the job not just their skills, not just their experience, but the financial timeline with which they live, right? And we call this distraction that employees often have at work, whether anybody is logging these numbers or not. There's a term for it, and I didn't make it up. It's called presenteeism. Presenteeism, okay? It's not absenteeism, which can, of course, happen from financial stress. It's presenteeism. It's being at work while your mind is not quite there. Your mind is busy worrying about all those things we're talking about. I did actually end up writing a book about this, my new book, The Quiet Pressure, but I
Nice
will
how
put
normalized
up.
financial stress is shaping today's workforce.
Yes, because that's exactly the point, how normalized financial stress is shaping today's workforce. Not how financial crisis is causing people to stay home. This is affecting most people at some level. And the problem is, we have normalized it. We have accepted that your mortgage might take 15 years, that you have to make extra payments to be able to get something to be paid off faster, that you will never be able to stick to a budget, that your company offers a retirement plan, but you just can't find the money to go into it because you're not like those other people who have extra money.
Mm-hmm.
We accept these things as a given, but I think at its core, the thing I've objected to so many times and continue to defend people about is this inference that if you're having any kind of money stress, worries, challenge, you are to blame for it. Now, alone.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm not trying to say, look, it's nobody's fault. You know, you make all the world's worst decisions and you don't have any responsibility. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that it's not what people point the finger at, which is, you know what, Jess, if you just made better decisions, you wouldn't have these problems. You should
or
be
you
like
cut
so-and-so.
Out this and this and this from your budget.
Yeah. So they think it's behavioral and static. Like you said, cut this out and you'll be fine. Check.
Right.
Financial outcomes are rarely determined in a single decision.
Mm-hmm.
They're the cumulative result of thousands of small choices made under varying levels of stress with the limited information we get, I guess, and constraint, right? We're in this tight little box. My kids are aging and I have to get them to Disney before they're too old to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in this short timeline. So if help is only offered at the company level, and many companies are doing this now, offering financial wellness benefits, mostly as an add-on, okay? So if help is only offered at the company level, at the point where breakdown happens, where crisis happens, then people have to get past the stigma of telling their employer they're in trouble. That's hard. Or they have to say, I will reach out to one of these resources and bare my soul to a stranger.
Right.
It's always hard. And this is where I really feel empathetic and sympathetic with the workforce. If that's what really happens, then becoming capable, the more capable a person is, that becomes a disqualifier. The more capable you are, the longer you are expected to be able to carry that load. And you are then disqualified from needing all those crisis benefits that are offered as financial wellness.
Well, and I think sometimes too, employees, there might be a little trepidation about going to tell your employer you're in trouble because then you feel like it makes you vulnerable. You can accept whatever they're going to give to you because they know you need that job. So I think there's a fear there.
You know, there was a gentleman who was kind enough to come into the studio and record his thoughts about this. And he was very brave and very honest. And he said it best, I think.
When I'm at work and all I'm thinking about is how to make a car payment, how to pay my son's tuition or my daughter's future tuition, it's incredibly distracting. I can't really be fully present for my students. And they see it. I know they see it because they ask me, these are teenagers asking me, an adult, if I'm okay. And as much as I try to hide it, they know me well enough. And that also makes me feel bad because they shouldn't be taking care of me. You know what I mean? It's my job to take care of them. I know, it's really bad. And just, how do you say this to your employer? I'm sure my employers understand. I'm sure they know that this is going on. But I know of people who have not come to work because financial stress has made them sick. I know people who come to work with financial stress on their mind.
So, you know, I'm grateful to him for just teeing it up and saying what was really true about how do you say this to your employer? So when we come back, let's talk more about this quiet pressure.
Okay. In the meantime, can we get your phone number?
Sure. 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com, and you can also get the brand new book wherever books are available if you want to hold that up again.
The Quiet Pressure is available on Amazon in paperback, hardcover, Kindle, and soon to be audio format.
So more financial fitness to come next on FranklinCountyNow.com.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hi, Jess. I'm fired up.
Yeah, well, we're kind of talking about the inspiration behind your brand new book and about companies getting involved. And I do have a couple of questions, but first, the name of the book?
The Quiet Pressure, How Normalized Financial Stress is Shaping Today's Workforce.
All right. Question for you from what we were talking about with employers offering financial services. If I'm an employer listening, and I know you and I have talked about this before, so I know the answer, but if I'm an employer listening to us right now, and I'm saying, I don't want to get involved in my employees' finances, that's their business, that's their problem, tell everyone why it benefits the employer as well.
Well, it certainly does benefit the employer. But first, let me just say they don't need to be involved in your finances. And in fact, keeping your privacy is not an option. It's paramount. It should be structural. Mm-hmm. And the structural is the reason that it matters to employers. So I'll give you an example. We talked about presenteeism. Your people are coming to work. Their mind is somewhere else, whatever. Mm-hmm. In severe cases, it bothers their health, all of that. But when I say it's structural, let me use this as an example, and I do use this in the book. If you're a company, you don't ask your employees if they'd like to opt into healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
It's put in as infrastructure because it's too risky for you to have employees with catastrophic illnesses that aren't covered. You won't have a workforce left. People get sick, right?
Yeah.
You also integrate something for cybersecurity as infrastructure. You don't pick up cybersecurity once you've been attacked. You don't say, hey, we got a problem. Let's call the cybersecurity people.
Right.
You put it in as infrastructure because it's too risky not to have it, even though you might not need it ever.
Right.
You might not need it for a year. It's insurance. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, if you know that your workforce has to deal with money, and pretty much every workforce has to deal with money, then you can pretty much assume that they are worried about it at some time, at some level, for almost everyone in your company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, what is that costing you? I can tell you that the data says between 2 to 4 hours per week per employee is lost on this stuff. Yeah.
Wow. That's nobody, a lot.
Yeah, nobody will believe that. But if you're, the problem is it's so hard to see. You know, you can ask your employees, are they stressed out about money? And what are they going to say? They're not going to tell you if they're stressed out about money unless they're really at crisis, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is employers put these plans in place, these financial wellness add-ons. You know, here's a bank of calculators, here's a referral to somebody, here's a webinar. But they are judged by things that companies can see. They're judged by how many people enrolled, how many people showed up, how many people utilize this stuff. And based on those things, that's how they judge whether it's effective or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to say that financial wellness at this level, when we're talking about coordination and sequencing, which we haven't even gotten into yet, but when you apply what I'm talking about in The Quiet Pressure as infrastructure, then your way of understanding whether it is working or not as an employer isn't about how many people click the button. It's about what is changing. Are people less distracted at work? Are your timelines, you know, are they able to see out into the future more when really what they've been doing is asking a lot of questions about a short-term project? Because they're thinking in those terms. You know, people under financial stress don't think about the future in a rosy way. They think about now.
Right.
And that translates. It all carries with these people into work, no matter how skillful somebody is, how committed, how loyal, how capable. They are carrying this quiet pressure, and it is affecting the workforce. And it turns out that it's very affordable. I mean, really inexpensive for companies to do this. In fact, in some cases, companies don't pay for it. They just offer it to their employees. So it's free for a company to do it, right? I want to be very clear about this. I'm not saying, look, throw out all those benefits you're paying for and you know, get the hug plan. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the problem is in the uncoordination and the lack of sequencing.
Okay.
So if you can apply something like what we're talking about in the quiet pressure to coordinate the benefits you've already got and apply mm-hmm. sequencing, which I'm just going to talk about now, to
okay.
apply sequencing in a way that is scalable,
mm-hmm.
then you really start to address something. So
okay.
let's talk about sequencing. Sequencing is the order in which these decisions get made, right? You could say, my financial wellness benefits are coordinated. I get them all through my EAP. They're all, you know, they coordinate that. I don't care about that. But it's really unlikely that sequencing at all is involved. In other words, think of it like levers, okay? If
okay.
I pull this lever to my budget, this
mm-hmm.
lever over here changes, right?
Right.
Sequencing cares about that. Typical benefits don't. So if you pull the budget lever, your retirement account doesn't care. You
mm-hmm.
know, suddenly gas prices have gone up. Do you change your retirement contributions? Not likely. Not until
right.
it becomes a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm talking about is something that you put in place, like healthcare, like cybersecurity, as infrastructure, because it is so important to your workforce. But it requires... This is tough because it requires an employer, a CEO, an HR team, somebody in the C-suite level
mm-hmm.
with some vision and some empathy. I don't want to say those who don't do it don't care about their people, but you have to care about your workforce,
right.
at least at the level of, hey, if my workforce was better, felt happier, you know, they'd come to work and my bottom line would be increased. It's
mm-hmm.
not a morale initiative. It's not a pep talk. We're talking about giving people that for 18 or 19 years, I've been hearing in almost every appointment, why didn't I know about this? How come nobody teaches about this? I've
mm-hmm.
got some stuff through work. I go to a webinar, but I can't apply it.
Right.
So that's an important point. Financial wellness benefits that are out there are great. I'm glad that they're there. What I'm talking about is the missing piece, okay? So let me say this because we're talking about levers. You can go to a financial wellness webinar that teaches you about compound interest rates at work.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change the fact that your debt is still taking you forever to pay.
Right.
You understand compound interest rates, but nothing changed on your side.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing adds to the pressure because now you feel like, geez, I not only was doing everything right in the beginning, I'm gathering as much knowledge as I can. I'm trying to apply this stuff and I still can't do it.
Mm. Or I'm still failing at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I hate that word failing. Yeah. So I just think that, you know, people really do need to understand if you're feeling like you're doing everything right, and you're still not getting ahead,
mm-hmm.
if there's one takeaway from this, you are not broken. All right? You may be operating inside a system that isn't coordinated yet.
Okay.
And once you see that, everything begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could go into a lot of history, and we don't have time to do it, but I will just say that there has been a major shift in the responsibility individuals have about their money.
Mm-hmm.
From a time in the mid-century where companies had pensions and people worked for one company for a long time. They got their pension. That was it. They cared
mm-hmm.
about, you know, raising their kids and doing their ledger sheet was a lot simpler. Household
right.
budget was simpler, way simpler. Yeah. We used to get a little book and write down what, your 10
mm-hmm.
things you had to pay that month. Okay. But once we started to get rid of pensions and shift into 401ks and 403bs and 457 plans, And put the burden of health insurance and disability and other things, dental insurance, everything on the employee. We didn't give people any education about this, Jess.
Mm,
we just
yeah.
said, hey, we're not doing this anymore. It's up to you.
Right.
And so we've done this in a way that the system has become very fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect of people that they now have to do their own sequencing, which is
mm-hmm.
the order in which decisions are made. Now they have to do their own sequencing, their own coordination, and their own implementing of these plans with very little experience or resources. And all I'm saying is it doesn't have to be that way. There is a way to do it. I've written 300 pages about it, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're an employer and you're listening to this, you know, download the Kindle version if you don't want to buy the hardcover. That's fine. But take a look at this, because it could really, it might be the highest ROI benefit you add this year. Okay.
Yeah. And well, when you're talking 2 to 4 hours per person per week, you know, even if you have 10 employees, there's a whole 40-hour week gone.
Yes. I mean, we could talk about this forever, but when you said even if you have 10 employees, it comes to mind that I was recently talking to a small veterinarian clinic, and she said to me, oh, I would give this to my employees because, you know what? Most of the time they have to go to Tufts, or they want to go to Tufts or someplace because of the pay, and I can't compete. But our average person, just applying this coordination and sequencing, the average person saves a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Wow.
It's a benefit. It's a real benefit. So, yeah, you know, it's really, I would encourage anybody who has an interest, if this resonates with anybody. Of course, I go much deeper in the book. And I just hope that a great employer hears it, says, you know what? I've been seeing that at my own. Yeah, I've been seeing it at my own company. I feel like I'm doing everything right. And yet, you know, my bottom line isn't increasing. My company isn't growing at the rate I expected it to. I can't see it on the page. What is going on? You know what? It's structural. Look at your workforce.
Well, on a side note, congratulations on book two. It is no easy feat writing a book. And how are you feeling after getting it done? I know that that's it's a lot of hard work.
Thank you. Actually, it's book three.
Oh, book three. Okay.
Book three.
Well, Dead or Alive, and then you revised that. Right?
I did. So it's really 2.5, I would say. Okay. Yes. Thank you. It's feels good to have it done. I made jokes about it as I was doing it because it was an intense book to write. And I wanted it to be a light enough read for people, but still make a point. So I was referring it to my own quiet pressure. It was my own quiet pressure. So yeah, it feels great to have it out and available. And people can get it on Amazon.com or they can call us and we'll get them a copy. Yeah.
All right. And what is the phone number to call you?
Sure. 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I just want to add for employers, when you go to hugyourmoney.com/groups.
Perfect. Easy. Thank you. We'll have more financial fitness next week on franklincountynow.com. Have you ever seen the show Severance?
No.
Okay, so there's the show Severance on Apple with Adam Scott, isn't it? But basically it's, and I can't remember the details of what exactly they do, but they put some kind of chip or something in people so that when you get to work, you have no memories of your outside life. So you just focus on work. And then when you leave work, it switches you back to, so you have no memory of work. And it's the employers in this sci-fi show are doing this because of what you're talking about, where people are so distracted at work by relationships and money and all these other things. They want them just focused on their work, like bots almost. And so it's a really good show.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Yeah.
It's really up the alley of what you're talking about, but employers don't get any ideas. All right. But it's really, really kind of scary when you think about it, because every employer would love to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, could be easier than that, but yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Jess.
So interesting. Of course. Well, it's good to see your face.
Thanks, you too. Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Hug Your Money.
Permission granted to chase your dreams.
Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.